Good morning. It is nice to be here with you this morning. I will make one correction at least. My oldest child is a boy. Our son Micah is 10. Our daughter Kylie is 7. My wife Brittany, they would have been here this morning, but we've had some illness in our family. My son is medically involved is the easiest way to explain it. Has a large mass and a trach, and won't go into all of the details, but so he can get sick easier than others. And he was in the hospital last weekend with an infection, and they got out Thursday. So it's been a longer week for us. So that's why they're not here this morning. They just need a little bit of time to rest up. So, but all that said, he does very well with it all. I mean, it's not consistently a problem. But so that is why I'm by myself this morning. I always feel at least a little bit of reason to explain if I'm just traveling alone when we're not too far. It's about an hour to get here. So again, I bring greetings from camp. I know a lot of you know camp, and I know a lot of you know Gene. We appreciate his leadership up there. We just had our festival, and we're kind of slowing down for the winter time now and kind of closing everything up. I'm not in charge of the maintenance department. I work in it. Galen Jay, I don't know if any of you know Galen. He's been there for around 20 years, if not a little more at this point, as the one who heads it all up. But as mentioned, there is a lot to do, but there's always a lot to do anywhere. So we're never lacking with projects to do. And if anyone ever, you know, would like to come up and volunteer, we're always welcome for that too. Doesn't matter your skill level, we can find something that you could help out with. So we are always looking for that as well. This morning, when I was preparing for this sermon, I've kind of been around all over this year. Usually I'll preach about 4 or 5 times, give or take, but there's been a lot of transitions in the northern Indiana, at least. So by the time the year's done, it'll be about 15 times I've probably been places. And I always pick something that either interests me or troubles me a little bit or does a little bit of both. And I think this one does a little bit of that this morning, and I'll kind of get into it and explain why once we make it to the point where I kind of have a problem. And I think I can solve that problem with what's here, but it causes just a little bit of unease as you first read through it, I think. And before I really dive in, it's not going to be about just worrying in general, because I think that there is always going to be a little bit of worrying we do kind of by human nature. And again, we'll dive into some of this. But the passage here that was read, 22 through 34, Jesus is talking specifically to his disciples. But before this, there is a crowd of people and a man shouts out, you know, basically saying, tell my brother to divide our family inheritance with me. They're kind of going to Jesus for a dispute about money. And that leads us to this, and I think it's important here. And the parable then, you know, Jesus kind of responds with, you know, I'm not a judge, I'm not an arbitrator, I'm not going to solve that for you. And then gives the parable of a farmer who has a very successful fields and is looking around going, boy, I've got all this extra, what am I going to do? I better build some larger buildings to store all of my extra. And so it says that, you know, that's his plan. He tears down what he has, builds new buildings. And then that night, he is told in a dream that God requires his soul of him that very night. And so all of this extra and excess that he was planning for himself is no longer going to be for him. And even in his talking about it in verse 19, as he's done all these things and thinks he's in a good spot, he says to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for your years to come. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So that kind of, you know, shows his mindset. You know, he's approaching it from a get what I can provide for myself, kind of a position of greed, I think is the easiest way to just put it out there. That's what's going on. And so then that leads us to our next section, the one we're going to look at more this morning. And the reason I think we need to know what happened previously is that in 22, when it says he was talking to his disciples, he says, for this reason I say to you. So the previous verses are leading up to this. So he's explaining why he's going to share this with them. you know, he has this story of greed and people looking out just for themselves. And now he's going to lead into this. And he is talking again specifically to his disciples here. They make that clear. And he says, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. Two very specific things he's telling them to not worry about. We'll kind of talk about general worry overall a little bit later. But right here, it's two very specific things that he says, don't worry about those two things. And thankfully, I don't have to worry about food. I mean, you can look at me, I'm doing fine. I don't have to worry about clothing. I mean, I don't know if I'm doing fine there, but I clearly have plenty. That's not something that I genuinely have to think about. But here, the Greek word, and I won't go through all of the ins and outs, but the word for do not worry is to not have a constant attitude of worrying. A constant thought, a constant worry about where is this going to come from. He's encouraging his disciples to not live in that state. And then he explains that, you know, your body is more than clothes, your life is more than food. And again, I think we can expand that out a little bit more, that if we get hung up on just some of these smaller items, we're going to miss the larger points of life. You know, if I really get caught up in what my next meal is going to be, what else am I going to miss throughout my day? If I'm really concerned about what clothing I have or what fashion I'm keeping up with, what else am I going to miss? And I think that's a little bit of what's being brought out here as well. And we're going to kind of hammer home a few other points here as well. But we see that we should turn things over to God in some of these matters. And I think that's what he's trying to imply first and foremost. In the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, you know, having provision for our daily bread. And, you know, taking some of our basic needs directly to God and trusting him with those. And then Jesus decides to give several examples. And I'm really kind of surprised how much time he spends on these points. So he's really hammering home that they need to not be concerned about these. I think that implies they were concerned about these. You know, these men had given up everything to follow him. They had probably left behind money. They had left behind a lot of their stuff. So I could see that there would be a little bit of anxiety in them going, okay, is this really going to work out what we're deciding to do? And he points out examples from nature. And the first ones he gives is the ravens. One of the commentaries I looked at referred to it as crows. I don't know. I didn't break down exactly the wording. But either way, some sort of raven-type bird is the first one he gives an example of. And just so we get an idea of what they're talking about, in Leviticus chapter 11, when they're talking about unclean animals, ravens and their kind are listed. So I think what Jesus is also implying here is, you know, this bird, kind of a minor creature, also one that was deemed unclean, is being taken care of by God because of the natural things around him. You know, how much more are you going to be taken care of by God? And so the first one he points out is ravens. You know, that they don't store things. They don't, you know, they're not doing anything to provide their own food. And yet there is food for them. One of the commentaries that I really appreciated his statement as I was reading through, he wrote that the ravens are not always worrying that their supply of worms may run out. Yet they do not expect the worms to crawl down their beaks. So the food is there, but there has to be some sort of effort on their part. And I think that's also an important thing to remember. You know, if I'm just sitting around going, man, you know, I really need this, God. Why don't you go ahead and give it to me? I don't think there's going to be a positive response unless I'm actually working towards what I'm bringing up. And so I think that is a good one to remember there as well with the ravens, that they do go out and look for their food, but their food is there. And they're provided for. And so again, I think it's a reminder that God is providing for us, even if we're not aware of it. It might take a little bit of looking on our part. And so here we see the care of the birds. And then he kind of pauses just a little bit to talk about worrying again. In verse 25, can you add a single hour to your lifespan by worrying? Again, pointing out that there really isn't any gain from worrying. And I would agree with that. I think here we can talk a little bit more about the general idea of worrying, because we don't really gain by it. Do you know anybody that you would classify as a worrier? I know I do. I mean, I grew up in a family of worriers, and it was something that I used to do as well for quite a while. I don't remember exactly when it all stopped, but I'll give a very specific example. When I was younger, and I don't know, I mean, younger, high school, college age. I mean, I'm not all that old right now, but you know, it was about half my life ago now. During that time period, for whatever reason, while going to bed, I would think about the day and often like replay, well, should I have done this differently or should I have done that differently? And looking at that, that is an absolute waste of my time. And I don't exactly remember when that all stopped. It was sometime during college. I don't know if, you know, I kind of figured out a little bit more there or just I became more confident. I have no idea. But I quit doing that. And when I look back at that, I'm going, what on earth was I doing? Because those are some of those minor things that I couldn't change that didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, really. But I would sit there and think about them over and over and over. And I think that's kind of the idea that we're getting at here. That some of those things where you just sit and you worry and worry and don't do anything to try and stop that worrying or help whatever that concern is, you're worrying for no real reason and you're not going to accomplish anything. A quote that I read, again, probably in high school, from Calvin Coolidge. I don't know which number president he was. I didn't look that one up. But the quote was, if you see 10 troubles coming down the road to you, you can be sure that 9 will go into the ditch before they get to you. So again, how much time do we spend worrying about things that never come to be as well? And I think here's also where I'm going to add in just the general worrying ideas. And this might just be semantics and word choices. I think there's a difference between worrying and having concern. Or constantly worrying and having concern for things. And, you know, I mentioned before that my son has some medical conditions. I was worried and concerned as it led up to his birth and some of the other surgeries he's had. And I think that's legitimate. I think, you know, if we're concerned about things and we're doing what we can for them is different. And also there are things that are worth being concerned or worried about. I mean, I could be very wrong. You know, I could be corrected by God in time. That's fine by me. But I think that there is a difference between worrying about legitimate, you know, health concerns. And there are people that legitimately need to worry about food. And we're going to get to that later with some of what I think the answer is. But there are times that worrying is legitimate. And that is something that you are concerned about because you don't know where it's coming from. Or you don't know what's going to happen. And I think, though, that we are reminded here that you turn those things over to God and you take those things to God. And that there's got to be a level of trust that even if you're unsure, you trust that God is working and that he is in the midst of all that as well. And so I'm not going to stand up here and say that you should never, ever worry because it's going to happen. Here when they're talking about this worrying, he refers to them as lacking faith. I'm not even going to tell anyone that either because I have no idea people's positions and where they are in their lives. But I know that I would be very troubled if someone told me I was just lacking faith with some of the things I've worried about. So I'm never going to do that to anybody else. But I think that, you know, we hopefully grow, and the things that we really get concerned about are probably different than when we started. And I think, you know, some of that is the trusting in God, seeing God's work throughout our lives. You know, I've seen things now at this point in my life that I'm far less concerned about some of the little things I was concerned about earlier in life. Some of the worries I would have had and probably prayed about even, I'd look back and go, that was kind of ridiculous. And that was kind of selfish to pray for something like that. But I think that, you know, again, it's maturity. As we move along, we get a better grasp of what's going on. And so I think here with his disciples, again, I find it interesting how much time he's spent on this, with these two things, but I think he's also weaving through the idea of keeping their faith strong in God and trusting overall in what God's working towards. And then in 26, he also continues along with that idea, basically off of, if you can't add a single hour to your life, you know, if you can't do a little thing like that, why do you worry about other matters? So again, if you're sitting around going, you know, again, just his example, worrying's adding nothing to you, how do you expect worrying to change anything? And again, this is a slightly difficult passage, I think, to talk about. It doesn't look that way when I was first reading it over, but the more I was digging into it, the more I'm going, we're going to worry, and I can't tell people to not worry, and I'm not going to call people out and tell you they don't have faith because they worry, because we love one another, and that's why we worry, I think, is a lot of it. And if we're loving one another, I think we're doing what God's calling us to do, and we should be genuinely concerned about the well-being of those around us and things that are going on around us. But I think it's just the reminder of not getting caught up on the little things. And now he gets back into some of the, again, natural examples that he's given them. He talks about the lilies in the field and how they grow and they're beautiful, and that even Solomon himself wasn't clothed as nicely as them. And then talks about the grass, and I think this ties together, that, you know, these are growing in the grass is clothed in this, and grass was used for a fuel, you know, to start fires. You know, if this is being adorned this nicely, when in a couple of days when it dries up, it's gone, and we're going to use it for a fire again, you know, how much more is God going to take care of us? And that's a refrain that he uses a couple of different times, the idea of how much more important are you to God than some of these other creatures and other things that have been created. And I fully believe we need to take care of our planet and the environment and things around us, but I also think that people are more important than that if I was going to actually rank them. But we should be caring for all of it, and I think this is just a reminder to say that, you know, God has done some of these things that he knows are just going to die and they cycle around, and taking care of them, you know, how much more is he going to try and take care of us? And again, I think there are times that we need to let him take care of us and to have the people around us help us. I think there are plenty of times in my life that I have brought something up to God or prayed about something and I've missed it, either because I was looking in the wrong spot or I wasn't paying any attention at all. I just felt that I needed to pray for it. And I think that's one of the other things that when I've talked with youth a lot is that if you're praying about something, be looking for some sort of response. You don't know where it's going to come from necessarily, and you need to be aware of that. And I think, again, part of worrying, part of these things that we go through, we should be taking it to God, ideally. You know, sometimes we can get caught up in the woe is me kind of mindset and just kind of focus in on ourselves. But we should be taking it to God, and if we are, we should be looking for something. And it might not, I mean, I've never had a direct voice from God. I would love to have a direct voice from God for him to just outright explain something to me. But there are times where I've prayed about something, and then someone will say something around me, and I'll go, there it is. You know, that's one of the things that God's trying to say. And so I think we need to be aware of those things around us and to pay attention for God's working, because we know that he loves us and he wants what's best for us. And so as he's talking about these things, he says, you know, do not worry about what you'll eat and drink, and do not keep worrying, for these are the things that the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. Again, a reminder that God's aware that we need food. God's aware that we need clothing. That we shouldn't be caught up in worrying about some of the minor, what we would call minor details. And again, he's talking to his disciples who he knew were going to have food and who he knew were going to have clothing. And I think one of the quotes that I read kind of summing that up nicely was that the man who has a loaf of bread and says, what am I going to eat tomorrow, is the man of little faith. Because he's already got it there with him. He's just, maybe he wants something better, or maybe he's not paying attention to what he does have. And so I think that we get caught up in that as well. And then in verse 32, he says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Again, we have the reassurance that God is looking out for us. And so up until this point, we've kind of been talking about the worrying of food and some of the little, again, I'm going to call them little things, because probably for most of us in this room, it would be a little thing. I can go home and I have plenty of food. It's a matter of me choosing what I would like to eat. You know, I have plenty of clothes. It's a matter of choosing what I would like to wear. And this is where it started to bother me a little bit in my mind, because there are those that are starving. There are those people that don't have clothing that need to genuinely pray to God and ask, where is this coming from? So I don't think I can make the broad statement of, you never need to worry about this stuff. But he's talking to his disciples who he knows has this stuff. And we, again, as I pointed out with the Lord's Prayer, we see that, you know, he does say that this is part of our prayers as we pray for our daily needs. And there are those around the world that absolutely need to pray for their daily needs. And so I was reading that, and when I stopped at that point, it bothered me just a little bit. But then I went, okay, Jesus is talking to the people that had enough. So of course he's telling them, don't worry about the small things. And then as you keep going further and finish out the section here, this is where I think we get to the point where we can hopefully say that nobody should have to worry about this stuff. Where in verse 33, he says, sell your possessions and give to the charities. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moths destroy. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be. This is how we get to the point where no one should have to worry about food. Where we give away what we have, where we sell our extra and make sure people are provided for. And I think that's the way that we can say, don't worry about food. And again, if we were all striving towards this, I think we'd get there. But I was having conversations this week with, there's another pastor who works at camp part-time, and we were kind of talking about this, and you know, the example was, you know, I've always got enough money to go out and buy another CD, or I've always got enough money to go to lunch that day, but do I always stop and go, oh, well, there's another charity, do I really have the money for that? Or do I want to make sure I've got just a little bit extra left over in my bank account so that I feel more comfortable? And this is one of those passages that really kind of calls that out a little bit. When I was going through college, I read an article, and I wish I could remember who wrote it, but the statement basically was, we should give away to the point of where we are in need. Don't put ourselves in trouble, but we should be willing to give up to that point. And I can't argue with that based on what I see from Jesus, but boy, did I not like it. Because I'd rather have a little bit of extra money here in case my car breaks down, or a little extra money here to go on a vacation. You know, there are different things that I would like. But I think here we see that Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, don't worry about food. Oh, and by the way, that extra that you have, sell it so you can give it away so that others don't need to worry about food. And again, as I was reading through it, I'm stopping kind of going, boy, I don't like that. That doesn't seem entirely accurate, because some people do need to worry. And then it hits it home there at the end, I think. That if we are doing what we are called to do as Christians, we should be looking out for one another. Again, the idea that where our treasure is where our heart will be. One of the comments that I read in a commentary was that our loyalty, one's loyalty is to the things that one values most. And I think if we start to value what God values, and if we start to value people around us, it's going to show. You know, that I'm not going to care as much about, do I have a little bit extra, And I'm going to care more about where can I help to make sure everyone has what they need. And so I think that there's several different points in this that, you know, we should not be worrying about some of the small things that we do worry about. We should trust God on those things. Again, I haven't prayed for food, I don't think, in a long time, or had a concern that that was even something I'd need to worry about. Even in college, when I didn't think I had any money, I still had food. And so I think that, you know, it's a reminder to not get caught up in some of those things that the world would kind of propagate as being the things you worry about. How you look, what you eat, how you dress, what car you drive. You could put in any number of different things, I think, into that and say, don't worry about these things. And then pointing out also that a lot of us here have plenty, and to make sure that we are storing up, again, that treasure in heaven, that we are deciding that God's people matters more than some of our comforts, and that we are working towards that. If you join me in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful that we can be gathered this morning, that we can worship and glorify you, that we can spend some time studying your word and what you've told us, and just keep us mindful of some of the things that we worry about and whether they're really worth worrying about or not. And just keep us mindful of all the blessings that we do have, that we don't mistake those for just some other needs. And just help us also to be looking for the times that we can give, that we can be generous, that we can show your love to the world around us. It's in Jesus' name.